Now, the EU says it's turned its rules upside down and inside out to come up with a solution on the Northern Ireland Protocol, and the plan to drop most checks on goods from the UK to Northern Ireland has been broadly welcomed by industry there. But the political reaction has been divided. We'll hear from the SDLP MP Claire Hanna in a moment, but here's DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson, who described the proposals as the EU's starting point on the 6-1 News last night.
These proposals fall well short of what we need, but we're going into the next stage of the process. We want to find a solution. We agree with Lord Frost what he said yesterday. What we need is to replace the current arrangements with new arrangements that respect Northern Ireland's place within the UK internal market, remove the Irish Sea border on the movement of goods between Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and put in place practical arrangements for the movement of goods into the European Union.
DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson on the 6-1 News last night. With us now, the SDLP MP Claire Hanna. Claire Hanna, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You heard Geoffrey Donaldson there, and we also heard yesterday evening the UUP leader, Doug Beattie, warning that opposition to the ECJ in relation to that, a brick will turn into a petrol bomb and a petrol bomb could turn into a coffin. What do you make of this unionist insistence on the European Court of Justice being a sticking point and their reaction to the EU proposals?
I just don't think it matches the reality of what people really are feeling on the ground on this. And I think there has been a degree of the response being created over the last 7 or 8 months and people being told that this is a terrible deal rather than actually feeling it. The fact is the Brexit years and the protocol years have been grim for Northern Ireland. But I believe the vast majority of the people have moved on in ways from the issue. Businesses are adapting or have identified fixes, many of which have been reflected in these proposals. And I don't think the majority of people of any background want to see the politics being allowed to go down this ideological rabbit hole and abstract issues like the ECJ and those being used to prevent a decent offer being adopted and worked through and potentially allowing businesses to get on with with their businesses and even maybe being allowed to realise some of the opportunities that the protocol presents.
You're in Westminster. You see the Conservatives as all of this is going on. What is your assessment of the chances of these talks succeeding, given, you know, the fact that Tuesday and Wednesday were completely different takes on the protocol?
Well, quite clearly, there's an element in the UK government that are keen to use the protocol as a mine for grievance, I suppose, a front through which they can keep battling with the EU. We know from Frost's own pronouncement at the Conservative Party conference that he believes that the main issue is that the protocol is largely working and that trade is adapting and that there's an increased north-south trade, and he sees that as a problem. Whereas most people would see, you know, increased prosperity as an opportunity for Northern Ireland. Whether or not they are willing to go all the way in terms of, you know, a trade war and so on, there's an acute oversimplification of the issue. People are bandying around the threat to trigger Article 16. But I mean, if you look at the situation in GB, who are in fact grappling with the effects of Northern of Brexit and faring a lot worse than Northern Ireland, there is perhaps a degree to which they don't want to see Northern Ireland stabilised and prospering too much, because it will highlight the loss of single market access to GB businesses and the damage that is happening. But like I say, you know, we have had over 5 years of politicking on this, and businesses have lost so much time trying to respond to proposals, get used to new rules, and for the wider society in Northern Ireland, it has been acutely polarising. All of the things we don't need to talk about that much here around identity and flags and borders are on the political agenda morning, noon and night, and you can see the polarising effect that that's having. It's worth saying the SDLP is acutely aware that there's a particular hurt felt by unionists through, you know, the perception of barriers within the UK. We're aware of the symbolic impact of borders, but we genuinely believe these proposals from the EU would offer a huge amount of solution in that regard and should be pursued in good faith. It is a worry that some unionist parties in the UK government may wish to sort of keep this on a low boil until the Assembly election and use it for that electoral purpose, and that would be really negative for Northern Ireland.
SDLP MP Claire Hannah, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And that question that Claire Hannah raised, what happens next and what will the fallout be for all of us on this island? Let's hear now from Mushtaba Rahman, who's Managing Director of the Eurasia Group, and he's worked at the EU Commission as well as the UK Treasury. Mushtaba Rahman, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what's your assessment of where we're at and where this goes?
I mean, I think Lord Frost's front run, Maros Sefcovic's package yesterday in his speech in Lisbon on Tuesday, effectively arguing that regardless of what package is presented, it won't be enough because there's not sufficient movement on this core question now of the European Court of Justice. So I suspect we will have a month of ping pong between the two sides. And at some point, our view certainly is that the government will seek to notify Article 16. And the question really is whether it chooses to do that in a very destructive way or whether it's a bit more constructive about how it seeks to do that.
I mean, so far, Boris Johnson and David Frost have been able to win concessions from the EU, haven't they, on trade? So why isn't it, is it reasonable from their point of view to presume they might be able to get that on the European Court of Justice?
Look, I think Lord Frost is sounding much more reasonable. Certainly his speech in Lisbon, the words were tough, but the tone was soft. So that's created some speculation that there may be a landing zone on the court. But I think the EU line on there is quite firm. I think there's also a lot of ambiguity, frankly, about the government's long-run objectives. I mean, do they actually want to fix these issues in Northern Ireland, or are they seeking domestic political and electoral advantage from an ongoing fight with the EU, which does serve the Tory party's interest on this side, a strong dividing line with the Labour opposition on Europe, where there is a belief in Downing Street that Keir Starmer is vulnerable? You know, there's a question about the extent to which they want to lean into that issue, but do they want Europe to be a focus at the next election? I think yes, they do. So, you know, one can debate what the compromise may be on the ECJ. There are certain precedents in other third countries that could be pointed to. But the real question, I think, is does the UK side want an agreement or not? On that score, I think it's very unclear.
So what would happen, do you think, given those attitudes there and given that it might suit Boris Johnson to be permanently at odds with the EU, even, you know, despite the consequences that might ensue? What could the EU do if Boris Johnson invokes Article 16?
So, look, I think that they're very clear-sighted about what the government is up to. You know, if they choose to fully disapply the protocol, that is on some level a calculation that the Commission will then not force Dublin to resurrect a border on the island of Ireland. Of course, that is the correct calculation. But that does, of course, call into question Ireland's place within the broader single market, because there
We've had a dropout.
Any pressure on the need to institute checks.
Sorry, Mushtaba, there was a brief dropout on the line. Continue. Because we're getting to a point that's very interesting from an Irish point of view. So if this escalates and, you know, the issue, the focus is on trade, what happens to Ireland's position in the single market?
Well, I think the UK government is calling that into question. And I think that is very well understood in Brussels. And I frankly don't think, regardless of the economic consequences, the Commission or other member states will allow that kind of pressure to be placed upon Ireland. I think they're absolutely very clear. If the UK side refuses to abide by its commitments regarding the protocol, either in part or in whole, and there is no border on the island of Ireland, of course, that puts the Republic under untenable strain regarding its broader membership of the single market. And I think in that context, there is some discussion in Brussels regarding a unilateral suspension of the entire trade agreement. You'll recall and will of course know that negotiations under Michel Barnier were sequenced. They were sequenced for a purpose. The EU wanted to ensure there was a full solution to this question of the Irish border before a trade agreement was signed, and the European Council and the Member States were fully behind that negotiating strategy. So if the UK government is now calling the former, i.e. its commitments under the withdrawal treaty, and if they are seeking to undo those commitments, or they are calling those commitments into question, I think the logical and intellectually coherent response for Europe would be to say the trade agreement also needs to be called into question. So, you know, that is some way off. This is not around the corner. But the point is that is being discussed at the highest levels of the Commission and in Brussels. And simply that fact that this is being discussed, I think, suggests how seriously Brussels views what the UK government is currently up to.
And the big question that nobody, it appears, can answer at the moment is, in the end, what will Boris Johnson do?
I don't think they know, frankly, and I think we would be wrong to suggest there's a coherent tactical or strategic idea within the number 10 operation or between Boris Johnson and Lord Frost. I don't think they know. I think their view is you lean very hard into this question with a view to extracting as many concessions as you can. They're obviously seeking to do that on the question of trade across the GBNI border. Now they're invoking this question of the ECJ. I think this regime came into power looking at what Theresa May did and looking at how they felt Theresa May was treated, and they drew very different lessons. They think hardball works, and that may be an uncomfortable fact. We may not like that, but I think that's how they want to do business. So I don't think there's a fully signed up, coherent, signed off strategy. I think this is all a bit of a gamble. They're going to lean hard on the question and they're going to see where things land.
Mujtaba Rahman, Managing Director of the Eurasia Group, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Morning Ireland this morning.